For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. Families of mass shooting victims want an investigation. Virginia stands to lose big from a hurricane. Senator Warner warns of America falling behind. A controversial developer goes bankrupt. And Lyme disease gets better treatment. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, June the 19th, 2019. More families who lost loved ones in the Virginia Beach mass shooting are calling for an independent investigation. The Virginian Pilot reported yesterday that three victims' families also want the city to release more information. Civil engineer Dwayne Craddock opened fire in a municipal building May 31st, killing 12 people. He died in a gunfight with police. Debbie Barato, the sister of victim Missy Langer, said her family can't fully mourn without knowing more about what happened. Two sisters of victim Joshua O. Hardy also want more information. They joined the husband of victim Kate Nixon. Jason Nixon said his wife had concerns about Craddock before he carried out the attack. City officials have said that the appropriate time to discuss an independent probe would be after the criminal investigation concludes. Experts say that southeastern Virginia could suffer $40 billion in losses if it's struck by a major hurricane. Professors from Old Dominion University said in a recent report that the damages could seriously puncture the regional economy. The June 12th report said losses could equate to 40% of Hampton Roads' gross domestic product. The report predicted a loss of 175,000 jobs and a decline in economic activity if the region's infrastructure and military installations suffer major damage. The report was put together by the Commonwealth Center for Recurrent Flooding Resiliency, established by Old Dominion University, the College of William and Mary, and the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. Is America falling behind the rest of the world in aeronautics? Senator Mark Warner fears that might be happening, and now he's working with Republicans in Congress to help fund new research capabilities. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
Flight testing is an art and a science.
When you design what we call a paper airplane,
Pradeep Raj, professor of aeronautics at Virginia Tech.
You have a design that you can look at on your screen, for example, and say, okay, it looks nice. But how do you know that it is actually going to work?
That's the question Senator Mark Warner wants NASA to answer. So he's pushing an effort in Congress to study the problems of flight. The idea is to create new research capabilities for aviation systems, advanced air vehicles, and airspace operations. Warner is concerned other countries are pulling ahead.
In many ways, that American leadership is now up for grabs as we see other nations, particularly China, make massive amounts of investment in cutting-edge technology.
Warner's working on the bill along with Republican Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas, a key member of the Appropriations Committee, where he might be able to help finance the potential $1 billion investment to NASA every year by 2024. I'm Michael Pope.
More than 50 localities in Virginia have been awarded nearly $3.5 million in grants to pay for new school resource and security officers. Earlier this year, Governor Ralph Northam approved the General Assembly's amendment to add the additional money for a grant program to increase the number of Virginia schools with school resource and school security officers. The grants will place school resource officers and school security officer positions at 93 schools. Secretary of Education Atif Carney said the additional positions will increase the number of school resource officers by 10%. The officers are required to attend training on various topics, including adolescent brain development and trauma, mental health issues, and students with disabilities. Virginia True, a corporation based in New York, purchased 964 acres of historic and pristine cliffs along the Rappahannock River to develop a controversial resort. Now the company is seeking to reorganize under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, as Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo reports.
The golf course would be put on the back burner. It was the centerpiece of the proposed resort that got the group into trouble with environmental violations last year. And there are only two remaining partners of the four that purchased the property 2 years ago for $12 million. They owe $13.5 million to creditors. Howard Kleinhandler, one of the remaining partners, said golf courses are not very profitable right now, so the plan is to bring in a flagship hotel.
Our plan is to refinance. We're going to bring in substitute financing or investment, either to pay back or pay down a good part of this debt and go forward.
Part of the pitch in their bankruptcy documents is to create a hotel resort as a destination for some of Amazon's 25,000 employees at its new headquarters 90 miles away in Arlington. County Administrator Morgan Quick says the company has a steep hill to climb in winning back the county after the damage done to the cliffs.
There's a lot of repairing that needs to be done to the relationship. It's just been one misstep after another for the past couple of years, and it's just the confidence, I would say, with the board and with the county, it's fairly low these days.
Meantime, the adjacent 252-acre property, Rappahannock Cliffs, was sold last month to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It will be added to the Rappahannock River Valley National Wildlife Refuge in Warsaw, which has a high concentration of bald eagles. I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
And finally today, with temperatures in the U.S. rising, so is Lyme disease. The ticks that carry it thrive in warm, wet environments, and it's expected that some 300,000 people will contract it this year. As Virginia Public Radio's Robbie Harris reports, new research out of Virginia Tech shows promise for better diagnosis and treatment of Lyme disease.
45 years ago, a then unknown disease was discovered in Lyme, Connecticut. Symptoms looked like arthritis, but the victims were young children. We later learned the cause was bacteria transmitted by a tick bite. Lyme is now the most reported disease of its kind in the country, according to the Centers for Disease Control, and to this day, it's difficult to diagnose. Not everyone who's bitten by a Lyme-carrying tick will come down with it, and even though it's considered highly treatable, there are several biological traps that the bacteria use to outsmart efforts to cure people who have it.
The bacteria that causes Lyme disease is actually unique. Chemically.
Virginia Tech biochemist Brandon Jutras and his team have just completed a 4-year study of the bacteria, and they found something strange about the cell wall that surrounds it.
It has some different modifications in it that don't exist in other bacteria.
This one plays a nasty trick. Even after treatment, it leaves a tiny molecule behind that until now had been undetectable.
So we have confirmed that in patients, we can actually detect this molecule, peptidoglycan, the cell wall component, long after infection and long after they've actually been treated with antibiotics.
Most cell walls disappear along with the bacteria they contain when they're hit with the right drug, but this peptidoglycan stealthily leaves that tiny package behind. And that's what causes the inflammation.
Because that response is unique and specific to the peptidoglycan, we think that it could act as a good diagnostic for being able to say, yes, you have this infection.
Jutra says you might avoid treatment altogether if you know you've been bitten by a tick. He points out it can take up to 20 to 30 hours for the bacteria to reach its victim. Even though ticks are tiny, it's a long, slow journey from their guts to their salivary glands where they deposit the bacteria.
If you get bit by a tick and you remove that tick promptly, you have virtually no chance of getting Lyme disease.
But you have to know to check, and the ticks that spread Lyme have been spreading to areas people haven't seen them in before.
I think that climate change and an increase in the overall temperature is certainly a factor.
Because ticks thrive in warm, wet regions rather than hot, dry ones, ticks tend to dry up and die in dry heat, Boutrous says we're seeing cases of Lyme disease skyrocket in warmer, wetter parts of the U.S. and Canada, and notably in southwestern Virginia.
It's been actually a developing process over the last 10 or 15 years here in the New River Valley area specifically. And if you look at the current number of cases and the geographical maps in terms of where Lyme disease is, the New River Valley has become a massive hotspot for Lyme disease. And I think that actually comes down to our climate because it is a little bit cooler, but the winters are a little bit warmer. And so that's really allowing the ticks to thrive.
Jutras and his collaborators hope to roll out protocols for testing and treating the disease based on their findings. Meantime, he has this practical advice for prevention. Maybe it's one you haven't heard before.
Rake up your leaves. Turns out ticks have to live at least one winter. And so where do they survive in the winters? It turns out they tend to actually end up in leaf piles because it's insulated and it's a little bit warmer and a little bit more humid. So if you rake up your leaves in the fall, the chances of harboring ticks in your area become a lot less.
This study is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. I'm Robbie Harris.
And I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.